Good morning, brother. Recently, Maria forwarded me an article, you know, the kind of article that you find shared on Facebook or whatever kind of social media. And when I read it, it was one of those articles that just really hit me square between the eyes, so to speak. And I was immediately motivated to share it with you. And so that's what I plan to do for this time that we have here to talk about God's Word. And I will say, preface this by saying that this definitely is one of those sermons that falls squarely into the realm of suggestions. But I think that you'll see as we talk about it that it has a lot of basis in what the Bible has to say. And so I pray that you will, you know, take it and take its application seriously in your own lives. And the article was about the importance of memorizing Scripture. I don't know what you think of whenever you think about memorizing Scripture, but I think for any of you who've been around a while, you know that it certainly has become de-emphasized relative to perhaps what it was like in decades past. And I think really there has been a revolution of how we interact with information as a society. And that has changed, you know, in the time that Marie and I have been married. I mean, we may be middle-aged, we're definitely not old, we haven't been married that long, and it's just crazy to think of how different the world was just 18, 20 years ago. Tremendously different. And for those of you who may be a bit younger, and for nostalgia for those of us who are a little on the older side of that, you know, if you wanted to know something, you know, you actually had to know it. I remember as a child, salesmen coming to the house to sell my family these really big books with letters on them. And for those of you who are younger, they're encyclopedias. And you would look it up and find information about various different topics. And if you wanted to know something, you needed to look in a book like that, right? Or you needed to go to a library where they had volumes and volumes and several different kinds of those things. And, you know, now if I want to know something, and Maria will make fun of me, I say all the time, if we only had these handheld oracles that wouldn't just answer my question for me, I just pop out my phone, ask my question, I know instantaneously. And I think we all can acknowledge that really as a society has changed dramatically. And, you know, there are a lot of people studying that effect. And it's something I think that we in the church need to be mindful of, because the fact that you can access information quickly and readily doesn't mean that you are accessing that information quickly and readily. And so I can remember times past when somebody, you know, we used to value, now I have this minuscule, tiny little Bible, right, which Larry makes fun of me for. There are no references, cross-references, but you used to have a Bible that had all sorts of, maybe some of you still carry them, cross-references, because if someone makes a comment about a verse and you need to know quickly where something else might be connected with that, and it's really hard. You know, I'd have to go home and open up these huge concordances that to go look up that information. And that's how we interact with information. You had to know it, right? And because you had to know it, we tended to value memorization a whole lot more. And now you don't have to know it. When somebody has a comment about what is that verse that says whatever, I pull out my phone. My phone knows more. Google knows more about the Bible than a lot of us do. And I think that that is a disturbing trend. And that's really what the article was emphasizing and pushing when it pushes the memorization of Scripture. Because, brethren, the fact that we can access that information does not mean our mind is dwelling on that information in quite the same way. And so, just present several cases, reasons for why we should memorize Scripture. The first point, really, is that we should memorize and not paraphrase Scripture. And this is the part that really hit me kind of square between the eyes, so to speak. Because I've always felt, you know, that paraphrasing is perhaps even stronger. Because I put the Scripture into my own words. That means I've had to think about it. That means I've had to digest it and remember what it says. And so for a long time, I've been personally satisfied to just paraphrase Scripture. But really, I think there's a case to be said for memorizing it and not just paraphrasing it. After all, when Jesus was tempted, which you can read about in Matthew chapter 4, we remember frequently that when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert, he responds with Scripture, right? And he responds with the citation of Scripture. Despite not having a Bible in his house growing up, he knew what that Scripture said. But despite having a phone, he didn't have to look it up. He knew what it said and he knew how to cite it exactly. He did not remember Well, God's word says something about not only eating bread. He remembered that God's scripture says man does not live on bread alone. And that's a real danger when we paraphrase things, is that we can actually lose part of their meaning. And a lot of times, something that starts out as a simple paraphrase may actually change what the scripture says over time when you remember the paraphrase and not what the scripture says. This happens to me frequently, as probably it does you too. Scriptures that I thought meant one thing, you know, when I go back and read over them years later, suddenly I realize that I'm actually surprised when I read it again and realize that, you know what, that actually means this or says something different. And I think that Jesus is a tremendous example for us about memorizing scripture. Because if we go and we look through the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus cites over 24 books of the Old Testament, citing about 108 times. Depends on how you count that. And when you factor that, we probably know about 3 weeks worth of information about Jesus' life are contained in the Gospels. If you piece together all the days, that's a whole lot. I get the feeling that Jesus' speech was just full and littered of references, quotations, citations to Scripture. And I think that is a really good motivator for us to memorize that as well. But I think there are some other reasons as well. Remember in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, this is a passage that we go to frequently, which I will read for fear of misquoting it. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Right? That's how it starts. Yours might say inspired of God, but that's what it means. That Scripture, those words, you know, that are written back here, those are not just words. Those are things that have been breathed out by the being that created the entire world. And how important is it then that we know what those words say, not approximations to what they say? And those words are useful to us, right? As we know, for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent or perfect, equipped for every good work. I think it makes a very compelling point that we don't want to add or take away from what God himself has breathed out to us. You can see a similar kind of passage. There are several throughout the Bible in Proverbs, the 30th chapter. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, in verses 5 and 6, it says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." There are lots of scripture references that we should be careful not to add to the words. And when you paraphrase something, you inevitably do not capture exactly what was written precisely. So I think these are good reasons for us to consider memorizing. And the other reason I think that we should consider memorizing is that you tend to memorize things that are important to you, right? You memorize what's important to you. So the first thing that pops into my mind is, at least especially when I was a kid, when I would hear a song on the radio or something that really resonates, I really like that song, it really speaks to me. The first thing I did, again, this harkens back to an older age, is first of all, you have to lie in wait with a blank tape on your radio. Right? And so when the song comes on, you're like, there it is. And you have to hit the record button as fast as you can when you realize the song has come on. Right? And then you just sit and you actually have to wait while you rewind it. And you listen to it again and again and again and again and again and again, probably with a pad of paper, and you're writing down the words because you couldn't Google them. Right? You had to actually write it down. And how many times did you listen to that song? And you did that because that song was important to you for some reason. Right? We memorize the things that are important to us. We don't memorize an approximation of the Declaration of Independence when we're kids in school. You memorize what was actually said because that document is important. Or some brave couples, memorize their vows on their wedding day. Why would they put themselves through that torture of depending their mind to function properly when they're under this kind of stressful moment? I don't know. But couples tend to do that. Why do they do that? Those vows are important. It's a promise that you're making to God and to that person for the rest of your entire life. And that's important, and that's why we memorize it. And so what I want to suggest to you is that that's a good reason to consider memorizing Scripture instead of just learning to paraphrase what is there. Because certainly God's word in our lives is of much more importance than these trivial songs, you know, and historical documents, really, that we have in this life. So the second part that I want to talk about is that there's just some good reasons to memorize Scripture, period. And the first of those is that, I mean, depending on how you look at it, God commands it. Not in those words, you're not going to find, thou shalt memorize my words. But you see things like we read in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. This is a chapter that we read frequently and think about frequently. In Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and starting in verse 18, God tells the people through Moses, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Think about that. You shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. He's not talking physiologically, right? He means that it has to be in you, right? He says these things to what surely was a largely illiterate people. They didn't have copies, lots and lots of copies. They just received these words, right? Not too long before. They were written in stone. God handed them down to them through Moses. When they wanted to dwell on God's words, it had to be in their mind, right? And that serves the purpose of it's always in there, and it's always something that you can reflect on. He says, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Bill, about a year ago, had a Wednesday night invitation where he showed pictures of what are called phylacteries. Right? You remember they were all kinds of leather bindings with God's word on them that are all wrapped up around. And they put the Israelites took this very literally, right? And they literally wore God's word on their body. And of course, what God is saying here is, you know, they need to be an ever-prevalent thing in your life. You look at your hands and there they are. It's in front of your eyes. It's something that your mind is fixed on continually. That's what God wanted of his people. He says, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. You see, he wanted the people to dwell and to think on at all times his words. And brethren, that does not happen unless those words are in our minds and they're in our hearts. I think it makes a strong case for memorizing. You can see a similar statement in Joshua, the first chapter. This is where Joshua sits the people down before they go into the conquest. Joshua takes over for Moses. In Joshua, the first chapter, in verse 6, we read a very familiar statement. Joshua says to them, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand and the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This is the part of the verse that's very familiar to us. Verse 8, though. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's clear indication, and we can see this repeated throughout, that God's intention is that our minds and our hearts are always directed on his word. And brethren, that doesn't happen unless it's in our minds in the first place. I think emphasizing the importance of memorizing those words. But I think there are other reasons. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we'll read a very familiar verse to us all. In the Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in verse 12, we read that, for the word of God is living and active. We'll pause right there for just a second. The word of God is living and active. These are not ancient words that have been written down that are no longer of any value. They are God's words that are powerful. They're powerful. And this is a reason to remember them and to memorize them. After all, as you remember, we talked about in the Proverbs class, God spoke words and all of this came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he said, let there be land, let there be an expanse, let there be answers, let there, and it happened. And then God turns around and speaks words to us and tells us how we should live our lives. Those words are powerful. They are active. And we would do good to remember them. But more than that, it says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirits, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This idea of a two-edged sword reminds me of really of Roman combat. Perhaps this is what he had in mind. You know, the swords of old had one blade on one side, but would lead to very superficial wounds, especially in battle. And I believe it was the Romans who invented this two-edged sword, and the very point of it was to leave no superficial wound. That sword was intended to do one thing, cut you straight to your joints. Right? It was meant to leave you a deep cut that you would not recover from. And that's the way the Word of God is described here. It cuts right to the thick, it cuts right to the intentions of the heart. And this is another reason I feel it's important for us to know what those words say, because they're powerful. And I think for a good example of that, you think about the way that the Pharisees talked to Jesus. Remember when they brought questions up before him? They were always trying to trick him. And you know people like this in your own life. People trying to trick him. People who talk around something but never just ask you directly what it is. And you remember Jesus? He was able to ask one question and silence them. And that's what I think of when I read this verse, right? That it's sharper and it goes right to the point. God's word cuts right to the point and right to the pure intention of the man's heart. So when we memorize those words, when we have them in our hearts ourselves, it gives us that same kind of ability, right, to cut through a lot of things that might distract from the truth and discern and understand people's true intentions. Well, and I think that another reason that it's good to memorize these words is that they are a guide in our lives. We just finished a study on Psalm 119 that Larry was leading for us. There are many scriptures in there that imply that God's word guides us in our lives. But let's just remember a few of them. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." What does it mean that he stored up your word in his heart? He's not talking physically. He's saying that he has gone to the trouble to remember it, to take it in, to commit it to his memory. And why did he do that? So that he wouldn't sin against his God. That's that motivation. That word that he has stored up protects him from disobeying him. You know, and then he also writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," verse 105. That doesn't mean that you pull up your Bible app, right, and then let it shine so you can see your way. That's what I do when I'm trying to go to bed at night and Maria's already asleep. It's not a literal light to your path, right? It is a guide to you. But how can it be a guide to you that you hardly know, right, or that you don't really have internalized? So I think that these are powerful reasons. And the last one that I'll give here is that God's word is meant to, his words are meant to help you through trouble. You can go to many passages for this, but the one that came to mind for me is John 14. In John 14, we read about Jesus about to go and suffer and die on the cross, and he's talking to his disciples. And in John the 14th chapter, in verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." He was encouraging them not to despair, don't worry, because I will send my Spirit, he will remind you what I've said to you. So you see, the thing that was going to help them through their time of trial were the things Jesus had said to them. And in the same way, if we have those words in our minds and in our hearts, they guard us and protect us and help us through those times of trouble. So I know that memorization, you know, you may have lots of different opinions about that, or you may have tried it, or you may say, "Oh, it's not for me," or, I mean, my memory works pretty well, although not as well as maybe it used to. And so I'm sensitive about that, but I think that it's something that we can all work on and do at least a little bit better. And I don't know how you do it, but I don't open my Bible and just kind of keep reading a verse again and again and again. You know, start small. You don't need to remember vast swaths of the Bible to begin with. Pick verses that will really help you out. right? Pick verses and truths that you want to dwell on and that you want to remember. I mean, one of the ones that I picked when I was many years ago that has served me well, that came out in the Proverbs class, is Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Above all things, guard your heart, for from it flows the springs of life." And that scripture has meant a lot to me as I've struggled. It's meant a lot to me as I've watched people struggle, have problems, have interpersonal problems, have problems of their own. And I really can see and understand the truth in that verse, that you really have to be careful what you allow into your heart, because your entire life flows from that. Pick something small, right? Something that you're going to reflect on and meditate on. And then find ways to stick that into your life. I mean, I'm sure most of us stand in front of a mirror for at least 5 minutes. Otherwise, I'm concerned about your dental hygiene, but I'm sure at least there 5 minutes. Pick that card and put it, you know, on your mirror. So in the morning, when your mind is idle, not doing anything, you're reflecting on God's word. And you're trying to memorize and put things, commit his words into your mind and into your heart. Of course, these are just suggestions. But a final point I'd like to make about memorizing God's scripture, it has to do with an example. I started looking for examples of people who were known to memorize scripture. And I found a bunch of them, but the one that I found most compelling was Fanny Crosby. I don't know if that name is familiar to you. Probably the song leaders know that name, because you tend to pay attention to who writes the songs that you like. And she was a blind songwriter who lived about 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago. And she was blind for most of her life. And she is credited with having memorized all of the Gospels and other large swaths of biblical text. And then she turned and she wrote 8,000 hymns. 8,000 hymns. Guys, that's like, what, 10 books? Stack 10 of those books up. She is credited with writing a ton of hymns. And for her, it was her way of expressing to people God's words that she had inside of her. And so as a final motivator, I want to say that it's not just you who benefits from having God's word written in on your hearts. The things that you will do, the ways that you will interact with people, you know, the things that you do at church, the classes that you prepare, the way that you speak with people will be enriched because you speak and act with more of God's words into your mind and your hearts. So that was the thrust of the article. I thought it was excellent, made some excellent points in favor of memorizing scripture more. And I pray that you are encouraged to at least try to do so a little more than perhaps we do already. I think there's good reason for that. But the thrust of it is that we do access God's word, not just that we can. Just that you can isn't good enough. Your mind needs to be dwelling on it. You need to be thinking about it. That's what God has always wanted of his people. We always offer an invitation in our services, an invitation that if you're not a Christian, to become one. Become baptized for the remission of your sins. Become a Christian. We also make that invitation to those who are Christians and are struggling. We want to be there for you, to help you through whatever difficulties you may have. If you have any need, please make that need known now while we stand.